and welcome to the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast, preaching Jesus Christ, crucified and risen from the dead, for the forgiveness and salvation of sinners, and returning to the earth soon to rule and reign as King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And now, here is Pastor Jim Duke with today's message.
Well, we're glad that you tuned into the broadcast again this week, and we left off last time in John chapter 3, verse number 19. John 3, verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. We naturally love our sin more than anything else. And the easy believism attitude today of just raising your hand and receiving Jesus Christ, accepting Him, believing in Him, and then no manifestation, no change in the life, no different attitude about sin and disobedience and wickedness of man, just a continuing on. Yes, I was saved back when I was 10. Yes, I was saved back when I was 12. Yes, I was saved back when I was 14. But not serving the Lord, not following Him, not looking into His Word and seeing how to take the Word of God and apply it to one's life, or maybe caught up in just religious practice, putting on a religious way on Sunday and maybe Wednesday evening, and then just living the rest of the week like the devil. The reason is because men love sin rather than loving the light. This is the condemnation, that light has come into the world and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. But when the conviction comes, there is a change. It goes on here and says, verse 20, "For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light." Why? "Lest his deeds should be reproved." The reason that the natural sinner hates the light is because it reveals and shows his sin. The Lord's going to go on in this book and say, in this book of John, he's saying that if he had not come, there'd still been a cloak or a covering for sin. If he had not come and done the things that he had done, sin wouldn't have been revealed. And Jesus did come, and His righteousness, His light, He did reveal, He did expose our sin, and showed openly the condemnation that lays there upon us because of our sin. His light did indeed shine, and men naturally hate the light. Everyone that doeth evil, verse 20, hateth the light. They love darkness, they hate the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. That's the way we are naturally. But here's the change. Here's the change that happens with conviction and repentance, faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, salvation by the Lord. Here in verse 21 manifests the change. A rescue from sin and wickedness, a salvation by God Almighty through the Lord Jesus Christ. In verse number 21 it says, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light." He likes being around the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that what he's doing might be shown. He likes being up close to the light because he's been changed. He's been saved by the Lord through repentance and faith. And the thing is this isn't a situation where the sinner that has been saved, the sinner that has been saved wants to be bragged on or wants to show how good he is or how goody two-shoes he is or how righteous he is. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest. He comes to the light because he loves the light. It's by the light that he's been saved. It's by the light he's been changed. It's by the light that his sins have been forgiven. It's by the light that he knows how to pursue righteousness and do that which is pleasing to his heavenly Father. It's by the light that he's been adopted. It's been by the light that he's been made a son of God. And he doesn't mind coming up to the light, that his pursuit of his new life might be made manifest. That word manifest means to be shown abroad, to be revealed, to be reflected. "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." that the working in him is not of himself, but it's the working of God in him. That's salvation. That's what salvation is. It's an indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God. A rescue, a visitation, if you will, by the Lord. The Spirit of God, as the Lord told Nicodemus here in this chapter, the third chapter of John, in verse number 8, he says, "The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit." What did you have to do with your birth? Nothing. We didn't request who our parents would be. We didn't request the city of our birth. We didn't request our name. We had nothing to do with our birth. Well, that's the way it is with salvation. As the Spirit of God, the Word of God is preached by preachers and carried by His people to sinners, and the Word of God is brought to them. And the Spirit of God moves and works to open their eyes to see the truth of the Word of God, to see that they are sinners, to see that they are desperately in a strait between, there's a strait, there's a gulf between them and their Creator. That their sin stands there as a wretched separation from their Creator. That the best, the righteousnesses that we have is filthy rags, as we mentioned last time. That the best that we can do is nothing before God, and we need help. Because there's judgment and condemnation coming for our sin, and we have nothing that we can do about it in of ourselves. And the Spirit of God moves and shows not only that sin and the truth about sin, the truth about the condemnation and judgment of it, but shows the truth about Jesus, the Son of God, the sinless Son of God, giving His life on a cruel cross. Some 2,000 years ago, as He hung there on that cross for 6 hours, and in that latter part, the latter part of that 6 hours, and that latter 3 hours from noon till 3 o'clock, there was darkness upon the face of the earth, as God the Father turned His back on His own Son, that the Son would suffer there alone on the cross of Calvary for His people's sins. For the sinner to see and believe and know that Jesus did that for them. That they're the sinner. That you're the sinner that needs saving. All by the working and moving and revealing and the showing and the conviction and the opening of the ears and the opening of the eyes by the Spirit of God. Verse number 21 of John 3, "But he that doeth truth cometh to the light." Doesn't mind being around the light, because the light's what's made the difference in his life. "That his deeds may be made manifest, shown forth, revealed to the world, being a witness to those round about, not to his acclaim, not to his renown, not to the child of God or the sinner's renown, not to his praise, but they may be made manifest that they are wrought," that word wrought is talking about being worked, "that they are worked in God." That the reason that there's anything now that comes out of my life that's any account, it's because of the working of God in me. The working of the Spirit of God in me. Not what I've done, but what the Lord has done in me. Have you seen your need as a sinner? Are you a sinner before God? The Lord Jesus Christ said, "I came not to call the righteous to repentance, but I came to call sinners to repentance." Are you a sinner? Has the Word of God and the Spirit of God shown you that you're a sinner, guilty and condemned before God? Just waiting for the time to stand before the judge. Just waiting for the time of the death of this physical body. That then going out into eternity, your lot and your condition is fixed before God. And without Christ going out into eternity, all you'll have is your own works and your wretchedness and your sin, and you'll be found guilty before God. Has the Lord shown you that? Well, we point you to Christ if He has. Because see, the Word of God, the Spirit of God always shows about the guilty the guiltiness of men, the guilt of men, the sin of men, the condemnation of God's judgment upon that sin. God cannot allow any sin to pass. It's got to be covered by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, or it's got to be paid for eternity by the sinner, one way or the other. Has the Lord shown you that? Then we point you to Christ. The Scripture always, in that condemnation of sin, always, right, the words immediately after it are always talking about salvation through the Lord Jesus Christ. We point you to Christ. Do you see Him? Do you trust in Him? Can you believe in Him? Oh, we pray, sinner, that you will. Trust and believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and trust in Him. We go on here in John chapter 3, verse 22. After these things came Jesus and His disciples in the land of Judea. And there He tarried with them and baptized. There's a little caveat here. It says here that the Lord is with His disciples down in Judea, that region there to the central of Israel, if you will, where Jerusalem is, and the outlying region, a very large region or province, if you will. And He's there with His disciples. His disciples are now following Him. Those that He said unto them, come follow Me, and I'll make you fishers of men. He went to Matthew or Levi, as he's referred to, and he was there at the receipt of the custom, and he said to him, follow Me. And Levi left it all and followed Him. Those disciples, the apostles, or those that would be apostles, are there with the Lord. And they're with Him. They're traveling with Him, as that word tarried is talking about. And they're baptizing. The Lord Jesus Christ, as we saw in earlier chapters in this book, had gone to John the Baptist, where the authority for baptism was. God Almighty, or God the Father, if you will, sent John the Baptist to preach about the imminence of the Lord Jesus Christ being there amongst them, the Lamb of God being present with them, the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world, the only one that can take away sins, was there amongst them. And John preached about the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ and the judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor, gather his wheat into the garner, and the chaff he would burn with fire unquenchable. That was the message that John preached. And those that came, saying, yes, we believe your message. Yes, we believe the Savior that you're preaching about, John. Those that came confessing their sins, John baptized to show the type, the figure there of death to self and life in Christ. Death to the world and life in Christ. Death to sin and a life to new life in Christ. That's what baptism typifies, an identification with the death and the burial and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Jesus, having gone to John, gained that authority of baptism. And now it is being manifested here in His church. Yes, in His church. The church is here together. When you see the Lord with His disciples baptizing, the Lord's New Testament Baptist church is right here working. She doesn't have to wait till the day of Pentecost to be authorized and sanctioned by the Lord, doing the work of the Lord. But there, Jesus, in the midst of His disciples, are there doing the work and operating as His first church. Well, see that our time has passed. May the Lord bless you with His word and His truth. Farewell until next time.
Thank you for tuning in and listening to our broadcast. We wish to invite you, your family, and friends to our services on Sundays at 10 a.m., 11 a.m., and 2 p.m., and Wednesday evenings at 7 p.m. Olmsted Baptist Church is located in southwest Logan County, Kentucky, just 2.5 miles off of U.S. Highway 79. Between Russellville and Guthrie, turn onto State Route 775, also known as Olmsted Road. Drive 2.5 miles and you will find our church house on the right, just beside Whippoorwill Creek. We're interested in any questions or comments you might have about our broadcast. Feel free to contact us by telephone at 270-726-7918. By email at obchurch@gmail.com or on the web at www.olmstedbaptistchurch.org. Tune in next Sunday at this same time for another edition of the Olmsted Baptist Church radio broadcast.